Anybody else remember that? Thank you. It's nice to know I'm among peers. Of course, it was black and white, and it was grainy, and certainly nothing like our televisions today, but it was still a royal spectacle worthy of every little girl's dreams. And following the royal family, as you know, is hardly the same these days. But even so, the coronation of King Charles was full of that pomp and circumstance, and once you could get past who could not sit next to whom and who couldn't come and all of that, well, you get it. Seems like the royal family is much like many of our families these days. But there is something about the grandeur and the tradition and the symbolism that still draws me in, even when I know that life behind the scenes, real life, is far less glamorous. The rituals, the crowns, the sense of history evoke a longing for something greater, something enduring. As we reflect on this passage from Luke today, we're reminded of the profound significance of Christ's kingship. Even in the midst of suffering and uncertainty, Jesus demonstrates ultimate compassion and forgiveness, offering hope to all who turn to him. His words to the repentant thief reveal that promise of salvation and mercy, and just how deep that is. And perhaps that's why the idea of Christ as king carries such profound meaning. It's not at all about earthly splendor, but about a kingdom built on grace and mercy and sacrificial love. Now, unlike earthly royalty, whose reigns are marked by all the pomp and circumstance and power struggles and fleeting glory and all of that, Christ's kingship is defined by humility and sacrifice and eternal love. He wears no jeweled crown, yet his authority is unmatched and his kingdom knows no end. And this story in Luke is a powerful reminder to all of us that greatness, true greatness, is not found in outward splendor, but in selfless service and unwavering grace. Now, unlike earthly monarchs whose reigns are marked by privilege and power and who ride around in limousines and fancy coaches, Christ's kingship is expressed through humility and self-giving. You may remember he came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the angels announced his birth to a few people, which you'll hear about starting next week. He wears this crown of thorns instead of a crown of gold. Jesus's throne is the cross. And this radical vision of leadership challenges us to reconsider what it truly means to serve and to lead, inviting us to embrace values that transcend our worldly expectations. In Christ, we find a king who redefines what it means to rule. Through his suffering, he opened the gates of paradise to all who would believe. And this passage challenges us to look beyond the allure of worldly power and all that pomp and circumstance, and embrace a vision of leadership that's rooted in love and justice and profound compassion. As we celebrate Christ the King, may we strive to reflect his example in our own lives, seeking not to serve, not to be served, but to serve others in humility and faith. I read about a young student pastor who once remarked that her seminary career was about being a time to learn how to properly interpret scripture with attention to the time in which it was written and the author's original intent. And this process is called exegesis, for those of you who don't use that word on a daily basis. In the context, however, of every pastor's ministry, extra Jesus as opposed to exegesis is the most needed when serving in the community. I was often told that the people you serve don't really care about how much you know. They care about how much you care. And the same holds true for each and every one of us here. We are in a critical time in our world. It's a time when we need all the extra Jesus, not more exegesis. Bishop Julius C. Trimble, the General Secretary of the United Methodist Church, wrote this past week. We need Jesus, Christ the King, doing good, who was unambiguous about rejecting violence, loving your neighbors, doing good, and embracing the power of peacemaking. The Jesus who promoted the mending of broken relationships and adherence to the two greatest commandments that were not to be separated or segregated. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. We need the Jesus whose ethic of love was not at the expense of ignoring justice or passive resignation in the face of humanitarian crises in need of faithful response. We live in a world experiencing wars all over, and yes, it's gone on since day one, practically. But it shouldn't be, in my humble opinion. We live in a world where people are being harmed and sometimes murdered. People who are held captive, starved, beaten. People who live in fear for many reasons. I pray that Jesus Christ, the King, will soften the hearts and minds of those who would promote violence and hatred of others. Lord, have mercy on all of us. The Jesus we know and love as our Savior crossed the divides of gender, cultures, and ethnics. He welcomed those who were marginalized and excluded. The Jesus we know as Christ the King was inclusive and promoted diversity, gathering his disciples from many walks of life. He gathered the tax collector, the prostitutes, fishermen, those of different ethnic groups, men and women, go figure, the wealthy and the poor. And he united them all with one purpose, to spread the gospel when he was no longer on this earth. His legacy was that of love and service with no one to be left out. Christ's model of kingship invites us to build communities grounded in compassion, in justice, and inclusivity. As we follow his examples, we are called to reach out beyond the margins, to lift up the vulnerable, and to create spaces where every person is valuable and welcome. And in doing so, we embody that radical love that defines Christ's kingdom and respond faithfully to the challenges of our time. As we reflect on the meaning of Christ's kingship today, we are reminded that true leadership is measured not by dominion or status, but by our willingness to serve others with humility and grace. Christ's life challenges us to examine our own actions and attitudes, urging us to choose compassion over indifference and justice over convenience. In a world longing for hope and healing, we are called to be bearers of his light, extending mercy and kindness to all whom we encounter. To follow Christ the King means stepping out beyond our comfort zones and actively participating in works of reconciliation and healing. It calls us to advocate for justice where there is oppression and to offer compassion where there is suffering. Each act of kindness, no matter how small, becomes a testament to the reign of a King whose power is made perfect in love, and whose legacy endures throughout our willingness to serve one another. We must remember that living under Christ's reign means embodying the values that Christ lived and taught. It calls us to daily acts of kindness, a commitment to justice, and a willingness to stand alongside those who are overlooked and oppressed. Each of us is entrusted with the mission to reflect Christ's radical hospitality and boundless love in our own communities. We are so blessed to be in this congregation of faithful believers. I know I've told many of you that when Bill and I retired, we decided that we would church hop. Buda was the closest, Buda UMC, to where we are living, and then Kyle, and then who knows where. Well, we hopped over to Buda on our first Sunday, and we never hopped anyplace else. We are so blessed to have a mission committee that works hard to provide hospitality and love throughout the community. We are blessed to have a food pantry that helps to feed empty stomachs. We are blessed to have men and women who strive to support local and foreign missions through faithful service and providing funds for those in need. We are blessed to have a space for the children's learning centers where parents can feel safe leaving their little ones, where those children can learn about loving others and loving Jesus. We are blessed to be a congregation that doesn't just provide exegesis, but works hard to provide the extra Jesus that our world so desperately needs now. We're blessed to have musicians, bell ringers, humdingers, choir members, piano players that love Jesus and share that love with others through the gifts that they've been given. Trumpet players. I almost forgot the trumpet player. We are blessed to share the compassionate love of Jesus Christ in a nation divided. We are blessed to reflect Christ's radical love and hospitality in this community and beyond. And we are blessed to welcome visitors and extend Christ's love right here in this space at the food pantry, wherever we go. In moments of uncertainty and division, our congregation stands as a beacon of hope in the community, embracing the transformative power of Christ's love. By fostering unity and supporting one another, we continue the mission of Jesus Christ the King, reaching out to heal wounds and bridge gaps in our community, and our shared compassion and commitment to justice inspires us to persevere, even when challenges might seem insurmountable, trusting that our acts of faith will make a lasting difference in the lives of those we serve. One of the things that I've always loved about the United Methodist Church is that we don't all have to think alike. Whew. We don't all look the same. We don't dress the same. We don't speak the same. We come from different backgrounds, different professions. We may have different interpretations of scriptures, different political beliefs, and we're free to question. But what we all have in common is our belief in the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the desire to let Christ the King be the ruler of our lives. Let us always remember that our calling extends beyond the walls of the church. As we were reminded in many ways last week on the annual Be the Church Sunday, some of us waited around the church campus, especially the little ones who were short enough to reach it, helped others with yard work, wrote letters to people in the armed forces, sang hymns and did crafts at Provident Senior Living, and convinced wary people in laundromats that it really was okay to let us pay for their washers and dryers. You may speak with Andy about that afterwards. Who else went to Kathy? Talk to them. No strings were attached. Or people packed lunches for hungry workers coming back to share stories of their adventures and everyone richly blessed by their experiences. Eileen gave me a note today that Connie wrote to our congregation that I would like to share with you right now. To all of those who volunteered at the McCall House during and after the Sunday cleanup day, may God bless each and every one of you for your generous gift of time and energy. It takes a huge weight off my shoulders as I struggle to keep up with everything that needs to be done around the house and take care of Mom, who still joins our choir every Sunday. And thank you to those who transport Mom to and from the church and church activities. That also takes a huge weight off my plate. I would not be able to keep up with anything without the generosity of the people of BUMC. Know that you are all appreciated more than you know, Connie and Eileen McCall. Thank you for that. As you can see, each day presents new opportunities to embody Christ's love in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and even in our families. When we offer a listening ear, lend a helping hand, or stand up for what's right, we become living examples of Christ's kingdom here on earth. May our faith inspire us to build bridges, to nurture understanding, and to cultivate peace wherever we go. May we always continue to be a light of hope and love, and let us always proclaim Jesus Christ as our King by the way we live. May it be so. Amen.